Hi, this is Mark Waid, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 323 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Joe, joined by Todd. Todd, how are we doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, as usual.
Great to hear. These shows go up earlier and earlier now. I don't think I even bother to wait until Wednesday at 12:01 with these.
But there are some embargoes. When we have a preview book, you have to. We can lose our rights to be awesome and stuff.
I say, if that comes up again, I'll make sure that it comes out at 12:01.
All right. Good to know, because I get worried.
Or to make sure to follow whatever embargo rules and laws and so forth they give us.
Well, we are nothing if lawful here.
Right. We're law-abiding citizens. Right. Contrary to popular belief, I am not a criminal.
What? I've seen your record.
Right.
It's a 45.
That's why I've been living under a fake name for the last 12 years.
Aliases?
Right.
Jessica Jones, was that it?
And that other show that was on ABC also called Aliases.
It wasn't plural, it was just Alias.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm talking about Aliases because we're talking about two different things.
Ah, I see what you did there. Wordplay.
Right. I figured you'd be right. That'd be right up your alley.
Mm-hmm.
So we have stuff to discuss on today's episode, not just us making dumb jokes about TV shows that either are on Netflix or haven't been on TV for 10 years. We have Civil War news, as we do every week, and big shakeups in comic book conventions as we're getting ready to close out 2016 here.
Mm-hmm.
But there are still conventions. We're back on track with a bunch of big conventions this weekend, and it is the holiday season, so of course there are a ton of digital sales and freebies available. Last week was a fifth Wednesday month, so it was kind of slim pickings. We are going to be discussing Saga number 40 very briefly, and Batmanual number 1, which we'll get into.
Wasn't he a tick character?
Yes. The Flatermouse renamed Batmanuel for the TV show, the live-action TV show.
Gotcha.
Which, while Deflatormouse, great name, there's just something so clever about Batmanuel. I'm surprised that it took people that long to come up with it.
Genius. Pure genius.
Right. We have what we're looking forward to coming out this week. We also have our question from this past week, which was best holiday story. And we have not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5 TV shows to talk about this week.
And one of them's like an hour and a half long.
It was an extra long episode of The Walking Dead, which they usually tip us off beforehand so that I'm prepared.
Mm-hmm. I went in knowing. I was like, I wonder if Joe knows this is an hour and a half.
Nope.
And if he's set aside all that time, because he's never had to review a show right before we record and then realize it was longer than an hour.
That only happened like 2 times in the illustrious history of this fine program.
Well, you're a two-time TV show watcher that went too long?
Yes. But the other 4 shows are the Invasion crossover on the CW, Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking some big things there, but let's get right into it, Todd, of course. Civil War 2 on the lips of everyone, and by lips I mean you and me, and I guess everyone else's ears because they listen to us talk about it.
That's right.
So, of course, continuing speculation of what this new fancy ending is going to be, how it all ties into the scene that Ulysses saw of Miles Morales killing Steve Rogers, whether or not that actually really happens now. Whether or not it's really Miles Morales who does so, whether or not it is, and who it is that possibly shuffles Tony Stark off this mortal coil. But Todd, as you pointed out on Twitter, they are doing everything in their power to make sure that this book comes out before the end of the year.
That's right. They have what, like 8 artists on it?
It's issue 8, the big extra special added issue. So of course, 8 issues, 8 artists. Only makes sense, But again, Todd, will it be enough to get that book out on time?
Across the finish line. I think it will. I think it will definitely be. We haven't heard any changes, and we're, what, 3 weeks away as this comes out? And as a matter of fact, the newest Old Man Logan didn't even have any Sorrentino art, because he did some of the last issue, 7 of Civil War II. So I think it's going to happen. I really do. And I think, you know, only good things can happen from Civil War II, number 8, being out before the end of the year.
Right. Now, I will say this. We did not put the caveat in there, and I think it's a little too late for me now. I do know that this book, if it is out on the 28th of December in the United States, there's a very good chance that it will not be out in print in the rest of the world on that day.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
All right.
That's here. I don't even want if Dave gets shorted. If Dave gets shorted, it still counts. As long as most of America gets their books.
What if there is a mishap and none of the books arrive at our local shop?
That's not our problem. If I could get it digitally that day, because it's everywhere and like there was a blizzard, it doesn't matter. Digitally counts as out before the end of the year.
What if there is a blizzard and something happens to the Comixology servers where they're not able to upload that issue on the 28th of December?
We'll put it to a poll, but we're not going to worry about that right now.
No, I kid because I love... obviously, you know, whether or not physical copies actually show up, if the actual solicit date, which means you could purchase it digitally through Marvel.com or Comixology.com, is the 28th of December, then of course I do in fact lose that bet.
Which would be wonderful, because you would get to see a certain thing that is going to make your life so much better.
I don't even know how to say that. Rogue One comes out like a week before that's supposed to happen, or 2 weeks.
Are you going
to
go see that?
We were trying to coordinate because there's a bunch of movies coming out in December here. There's some movie called Passengers.
Okay.
That my wife wants to see.
Oh, is that the one with Mystique and Star-Lord?
Yes.
I want to see that too. That looks pretty good.
I know nothing about it. She's like,
Passengers.
Right. My son wants to go see Sing.
I don't know what that is.
It is a DreamWorks animated version of The Voice, but with animals.
I know what that is. I want to see that too, really bad, but I'll probably not be able to get to it.
Right. So we'll be taking the boy to go see that. We will certainly be going to see Rogue One. I said to my wife, I'm like, we're taking him to see it. And he goes, well, what if he doesn't want to watch it? I'm like, then you could go leave with him while I watch the movie.
Mm-hmm. I hope it's better than Trolls, Rogue One.
Trolls wasn't, like, bad. It just wasn't anything.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just a thing that happened. It was a movie that was made. Nobody was hurt. No one's going to be offended by it.
What about Trolls?
That's what I'm talking about.
But what if trolls are offended by it? Well, like the internet trolls.
Oh. Whatever. So yeah, so Civil War II number 8, still we don't have that definitive date. It's still 3 weeks away. We'll know for sure in 2 weeks.
If it's on the next week's invoices.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Are you breathless with anticipation?
I want the book to come out on time, but that means the book would have needed to have been out 3 months ago.
Well, if they have a TARDIS, they can get the book out on time.
Nobody has a TARDIS. So moving along to other things that are delayed and or canceled. As we've talked many and many times on the show this year, it seems as though comic book conventions are a big deal. Big business, of course. One of the, I guess, West Coast outliers were the amazing blank-blank shows. And by amazing, I mean they would do shows in Las Vegas, they would do shows in Arizona, amongst other places. They were getting ready to have the amazing Arizona Con in February, and then they just recently canceled the show, with the organizers citing changes in guest policies, the comic market, and the current social climate as reasons for cancellation.
I wonder if Arizona voted Republican.
I'm sure there's a Kid Rock shirt that has that map on it.
Oh, boy.
That we could pull up and see.
Ugh.
So, of course, the discussion of this show being canceled brought many, many more people out. And the people who do these shows just said, well, you know, Phoenix, Arizona ended up being one of our, you know, lesser attended shows. We're still going to be doing shows. It just, you know, we're kind of got to tighten our belt a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else came out and chimed in on this. A great man, Todd. And I'm not saying that facetiously either.
Is it a guy who draws checks?
It's a guy who draws checks and speaks his mind. Rob Liefeld, you know, to paraphrase what he said, was that he did 26 conventions throughout 2015-16, and he has noticed the landscape has changed. Smaller shows have attempted to rise up, making more and more shows on the landscapes, and those smaller shows sometimes are disappointing, which means people don't go to the bigger shows. Also, the change over in guest priorities from fans has been a problem. And, again, he suggested that it's better for a lot of people to get out of oversaturated markets where there are tons of conventions and kind of stick to, like, one area. But he also mentioned that Wizard is seeing some financial issues. He didn't say it like that. He said it in a very colorful Rob Liefeld sort of way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Didn't he say it was going mouses up?
Yes, mouses up. So, Wizard, you know, is and has been one of the bigger names in the convention market. You know, people who don't read comic books like myself or Todd or probably you, the listeners of this show, who tangentially know comic books, know Wizard comic book conventions. They're, you know, essentially the WWE of these conventions. And this whole thing of the financial difficulties they had, you know, it's not like it was a secret. They've had some hiccups along the way over the last couple of years. Most recently, one of the heads having to step down because of accusations of them selling officially licensed merchandise on the side. They were supposed to do the cruises like a year or two ago. Then I think like 2 years ago, they said they had their most profitable year. And now there's all this discussion of them losing money. But one of the investors, a chairman on the board, put a $2.5 million investment into Wizard World to hopefully bolster them into the upcoming year.
That's a lot of cash.
That is a lot of cash. Now, we did talk on the show, of course, that they did not have any shows in the back half of November, and I don't think they're having their first show, oh boy, I think until sometime in February. So they are taking some time off with this schedule, and I am looking, or I'm sorry, New Orleans is their first convention of the year, and it's the second week of January.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at their schedule, their schedule is nowhere near as big as it used to be. They certainly have pared back the number of shows that they're doing.
Well,
where it was almost as though they were doing a show every single weekend, with the upcoming year, it looks as though outside of the summer, they're doing one show a month.
Yeah, I think, like you said, they have to dial it back. I think they were starting to cannibalize themselves, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And like Rob did said, it has to be the big markets and occasionally, because a lot of these shows, if you're going to do them in any place but big markets, you're going to have the same guests over and over and over again. So, because they're mostly media guests, and you're going to have the same people like going like, well, I already have a picture with these places, but the bigger cities, you know, where you have millions of people, it's like, oh, well, I'll go, you know? So where comic books were niche, and back in the day, you only, if you wanted to get something, there wasn't eBay. You had to go to a comic show. You know, that's why people went. So, like, I know it's cliche to say that the climate has changed, or the topography has changed, or whatever, but it really has. A lot has changed since me or you were going to little cons in little cities and church basements years and years ago.
Right. And again, looking at their list of shows, like, they're not doing Pittsburgh anymore. They're not doing New York anymore. A lot of the big guns are gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing the Carolinas. No North Carolina, no South Carolina. You know, those are some big hits to be taken. But those are some places where, you know, and they are still in some of the other bigger areas. You know, they're still doing Portland. They're still doing Philly. They're still doing Chicago, that sort of thing.
I think, I don't know. I guess, like, some of those big ones have the bigger cons have a hold, and Wizard is going to be a little fish in a big pond there. So, right. I don't know. It's all crazy to me. I just, you know, want to go do cons and have fun.
That's right, exactly. Todd's all about just having fun.
Mm-hmm. Baltimore Con, until that falls.
Right. When Baltimore falls, so do the rest of us.
That's right.
But there are a bunch of conventions this weekend, some smaller ones and then one of the bigger ones. You know, I talked about Pittsburgh, of course, but we'll save that for the end since that's the biggie. There's a little convention in Charlotte this weekend. There's a little one in Jekyll's Island, Georgia. Which, you know, interesting. Jekyll's Island, never heard of. The Paradise City Comic Con in Fort Lauderdale, and Steel City Con in Pittsburgh. And I think they run twice a year, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm pretty sure, because I think there was already a Pittsburgh Steel Con this year. Mm-hmm. I almost went.
I think they do April and December, obviously, as we're looking here. One notable person missing from the December Steel City Con, no Tom Savini.
Why, does he live in Pittsburgh?
Tom Savini is a Pittsburgh institution.
Oh my goodness, maybe he's making a movie.
He could be busy, but they do have a lot of people taking up his place. They've got a lot of the, I would say, B and C name folks from The Walking Dead going to be there. Ezekiel's going to be there, Abraham, Eugene, people like that.
Abraham has some time on his hands now.
Right, right. I don't think he's getting any bookings, as they say.
Mm.
World Wrestling Entertainer Chris Jericho is going to be there.
Oh, I wonder if as a photo op, he'll put you on the list.
Oh, I wonder if he'll be wearing his little sailor scarf that Braun Strowman made him wear.
That's right. It was a gift for him, and then he took it away and took... I love scarf talk. Hot scarf talk. The Fourth Doctor wore a scarf.
I've never... This is news to me that there's a Fourth Doctor.
That's hello. Right.
However, now, if Pittsburgh wasn't a 4.5-hour drive...
Right.
If this was, like, happening in Jersey or Philly, it's like a 2-hour drive, Chris Sarandon, William Ragsdale, and Stephen Jeffries are going to be there. Now, Todd, I know you're not going to know what the connection between those three names are.
I'm clueless on this. Was it the movie Clueless?
No. If I was to throw in the name Amanda Bierce, would you help the connection there and know who that was?
That Amanda Bierce was on Married with Children.
Right. She was Marcy Darcy from Amanda Bierce. Or from Married to Children, all four of them were the stars of the fantastic horror movie Fright Night.
Which is one of my favorite movies.
Really?
One of my favorite horror movies. I love Fright Night. Oh my
goodness. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And as I'm looking at the list of things, and I'm like, oh, hey, that's cool. Chris Sarandon's going to be there. And then I scored it all. I'm like, Amanda Pierce and Williams Ragdale. And I'm like, are they doing a Fright Night reunion in Pittsburgh?
Did you know the 10th Doctor did a remake of Fright Night?
Oh, and Chekhov it was terrible.
From, what?
And it was terrible.
Right. This is the one we're talking about, right?
No, this is the good one from like 1985.
With what's-his-face, he's not alive, though. He was one of the Planet of the Apes guys.
Roddy McDowell.
Rowdy Roddy McDowell.
Rowdy Roddy McDowell. Oh my goodness. So yes, I marked out huge when I saw that they're doing a Fright Night reunion.
Are you going to go get your Fright Night DVD or your VHS copy signed?
No, again, it's too far of a drive. You know, I don't like being in the car that long unless it's for wrestling.
What if we do the whole Navy SEALs scheme?
Smaller cons. We can't do that at a big one and go down, you know?
Well, I think we just do one cash grab and get out. That's all. Because they're not going to let us in at New York Comic Con, so no. We might as well do like a Steel City and then get some Steel City beer and head home.
Is that a thing, Steel City beer?
There's got to be. I think it was, actually. I think it was. I think I've had a Steel City beer.
So, if you're going to be in the greater Pittsburgh area, go get the quadruple mark photo with the surviving cast members of Fright Night and tweet it to me. And the links to all these conventions will be in the show notes, with the episode post going up, as will the link for the soon-to-be-named network, soon-to-be-named network.com, soon-to-be-named network.tumblr.com, Prodigal Sons podcast, Prime Defective is back. They're finding episodes that they recorded months ago and they're escaping. I don't think they're being released.
Oh, secret episodes.
Profane Argument is back. Puzzle Warrior 3 never left. Podvocacy is back. Joey over at Talking Gimmicks is going crazy. I think he had like 3 episodes of his show in the last week. So anytime any of these shows go up, head over to soon-to-be-named-network.com, soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com. And you will find the links to those shows there. I've been doing a much better job of getting everyone else's shows up on the Tumblr site, but not ours.
Yeah, we don't need that. Who cares about us?
Right, we're... people say we're the mothership, if you will, but we are certainly, you know, just...
We're mother somethings.
Oh my goodness. Be careful, Todd.
I'm just saying.
All right, I know you're saying stuff. So, also, we include in the show notes links to all the digital sales and freebies that are going on. IDW is having a sale on a lot of their newer stuff. A lot of number ones that it looks like, to me, a bunch of stuff, either like greatest hits sort of stuff, like Jeff Lemire's Underwater Welder, Lock and Key, stuff like that. But then it's also the first issues of stuff that came out last month. Like, new number ones that came out last month are also on sale, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are all on sale for IDW. Marvel is having a sale on all the collected digital versions of pretty much anything released within the last 10 to 15 years of Guardians of the Galaxy, which is some good stuff there, especially that Abnett and Lanning stuff. And I almost said that early Abnett and Lanning stuff. You know, the classics.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Horse is having a sale on a bunch of Richard Corbin stuff, issues of Creepy and Eerie, stuff that he did for Hellboy, Rat God, amongst other things. All that stuff is on sale, and DC is having a sale on Forever Evil. Remember Forever Evil?
Yes, I remember. That took forever to get out.
Oh, boy. But that was, I think, around the time when they were doing, like, 3D covers from some stuff as well. And there is a ton of tie-in stuff with this that I literally have absolutely no memory of.
There's, like, an Argus mini and a Rogues, a Flash Rogues mini.
Right, Arkham War.
Yeah, I remember all these. Yeah, they happened. Look at me just off the top of my head. I'm Mr. Forever Evil.
And then the entire run, like, the entire back half runs of Phantom Stranger and Pandora.
Oh, that's right, because they were involved.
Oh, my God.
Remember when Pandora was a thing and she was in every New 52 comic?
Right, just like how all the Watchmen characters are now.
Well, but, you know, are you equating the popularity of Pandora to these passing fad Watchmen characters?
Right, characters that Alan Moore created from whole cloth.
That's right. A cloth that was whole.
Right. But yeah, it's interesting to see as I look at like the Guardians of the Galaxy books from like 2006 or 2007, the Forever Evil books from like 2 years ago, and be like, that just seems like it was like both of them just seem like they were forever ago. Pun intended with the Forever Evil.
Wow. I liked them. They were good. I remember that was going on. That was when they had to do Batman Year Zero because they didn't want to have to tie in what Batman was doing because all the heroes had disappeared except for Batman. And then Nightwing was off getting killed slash changed into a super detective.
Well, no. Yeah, he was in there and they did the gimmick where, spoilers, everyone, Lex Luthor fake killed him.
That's right. And they ripped off his mask, remember?
Right.
It was like the worst thing you could do. They were shoot trashed.
Oh, my God.
They were trash shoot to Nightwing.
They ripped off his teabag domino mask or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, if you want to walk down memory lane from 2 years ago, it's all on sale. There's some freebies as well, digitally. And this, like I said, it'll all be in the show notes, of course. The first issue of a Deadpool vs. Thanos miniseries from last year. The first issue of Inhumanity, a miniseries that launched this wave of popularity that the Inhumans are riding to this very day.
That's right.
A first issue of a New Avengers Luke Cage miniseries. And since Disney and therefore Marvel owns all past Star Wars comics, the first issue of the Darth Maul miniseries that came out in 2000.
Mm-hmm. With the Inhumans, Joe?
Yes.
They're so human, they're inhuman.
Dear like infamous. Little Buttercup.
That's right.
Right. Come on. What are we talking about here?
Oh.
All right. So let's get into what we read from this past week. Enough messing around, you. So
me.
We'll talk briefly about Saga number 4.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're only going to talk briefly about it because, one, it's issue 4 of a 6-part miniseries. And it's tough to talk about Saga, of course, more than we already have. It's one of the best comics that is out there.
Right.
And Fiona Staples and Bri K. Vaughan do a great job of constructing this book each and every month that it comes out. We get a little bit more information about Marco since he is off to war. We get to see the deal that his ex-wife or current wife is making.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, at the end of the issue, the stuff with Alana and Prince Robot number 4.
That's right. It's a Prince Robot tour de force.
Yes. I literally had no idea where that was going. And even with the cliffhanger thing at the end of the issue, I still have no idea what's going to happen next.
Right. Saga. Oh, go ahead.
Go. No, no.
I was going to say Saga basically reads very well and looks very good. So
right.
That's the best I could say about it at this point anymore without, you know, hammering it home. Saga. I wonder how many issues did he say was probably 60. That seems to be his like MO.
I would, you know, 60 seems like a good round number.
5 years.
Right. But it's, you know, it's more than 5 years because they always take those 3 month breaks in between each of the 6 issue story arcs.
Right. But it's 5, 6 or what do I want to say? 60 issues. That would be how 5 goes into 60. How many times or 6? That's 10 trade paperbacks. That's perfect.
Right. So your gazintas.
I know my math, Joe.
Oh, I wish there was an episode of another podcast where we could hear Todd talk about his math wizardry.
Oh boy. Get prepared.
Get prepared. But, yeah, for this Friday. I think
that's right. Perfect. So, you should go ahead.
No. Okay. So you bring up an interesting question. I don't know if he has definitively said that this is definitely going to 60 issues. I wouldn't be surprised if it is, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did say that and I just missed it somewhere.
I have no idea because that kind of stuff, if he did mention it, might have been like 3 years ago.
Right.
So it would be in the back of my head, like onto new things.
Would you want to see this end?
Yes. Okay. I think it's going to end. I think Brian K. Vaughn doesn't have an ongoing, like, I think he's, like, everything he's done has a very, like, you know, set beginning, middle, and end. Like, his Why the Last Man, his, I'm trying to think of some of the
Ex
other
Machina.
Ones. Ex Machina. And they all probably went around 60 issues with a couple of specials. You know what I mean? So that just seems to be like a good number. So I don't know. I have a feeling it wouldn't go much further than that because he seems like the type. I have my story. I want to tell it. And then he has another one just like in the percolator ready to go.
Right. But does he?
Probably.
I can see issue 60. You know, because obviously the narrator for this has been Hazel the whole time since she was a baby, and this was kind of her telling her story.
Mm-hmm.
I could see, you know, you mentioned about, like, there was the specials for some of the stuff and the annuals for some of the other stuff where they had different artists just to kind of fill in the gaps. I could see him maybe doing, like, coming back to revisit Hazel at a later point in her life.
Like after Saga?
Yes.
Like or do something else for a little bit and then come back and do like a mini or something like that?
Yes, something like that. Or even like, oh, and I would hate to see this happen. Like, I would wonder if he would maybe turn over the reins to Staples altogether and let her like write and draw it.
I don't think he'd be against that, but I have a feeling with the history of everything he's done other than some superhero comics that like went on, you know, like just because that's what they do. You know what I mean? Like he did Swamp Thing. It's not like he's going to put the final touches on Swamp Thing and it's never going to come back. But everything that he's owned, I just think his style to me is a firm believer in ending. And that's what's going to happen to this book. I don't think it's going to go on. That's just my opinion.
It'll be interesting to see. We've got quite some time before that comes up. At least another 2+ years.
If I run into him, I'll ask him.
All right, you do that.
Mm-hmm. Brian K., if you're listening, give me a call. Text me something.
Right. He deleted his Twitter, so I don't know if there's any other ways to get in touch with him.
There's got to be, like, some kind of, like, messenger pigeon we can send or something.
So, the other book that we both read was Batmanual number 1. And the description of this issue tells you nothing about what goes on in this issue. And it's a series of, what, 4 or 5 little stories, short stories. There's, like, one with Harley Quinn. There's one with some, like, insane woman. There's one with maybe setting up a new villain for a future storyline. And this has a host of writers, host of artists. But the main story, the upfront story, written by the current creative team of the main Batman book, Tom King with art by David Finch, is the, I guess, DC Rebirth origin of Ace the Bat-Hound.
That's right. And all of these were holiday stories, Joe.
Right.
Holiday stories. So one of these might make my best ever holiday story at the end of the show. You never know. Stay tuned. But, it was an Ace the Bat-Hound tour de force, as we've said before. So, yeah. Great story. I love me a good holiday story, and basically it tells the tale of Ace the Bat-Hound was one of Joker's hyenas / dogs, you know, that went on, and he went on to, you know, and Alfred maybe brought him home, and this is the story of, you know, his training and whatnot, and I thoroughly enjoyed the Ace the Bat-Hound story.
Absolutely. And it was a nice surprise because, again, from the solicitation text, your guess as to what was actually going to be in this was anyone's guess.
Mm-hmm.
But that first story and the fact that the Joker named his, you know, his hyenas, dogs, or whatever after the Royal Flush Gang. Also, you know, the Joker does a playing card theme as well. I thought that was such a cool touch. And I never would have thought that that would be Ace the Bat Hound's origin, if mm-hmm. you will.
And but, I got a little... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And I got a little choked up at the end when Alfred was talking to Bruce on Christmas. Yeah, I thought that was fantastic. And, you know, I liked a lot of the other stories. I liked the Silent Night story where, you know, they're just a moment of peace at the holidays during Batman's, like as a true holiday story fan, and I've a firm believer in all comic shops should be organized into two sections, Christmas stories and non-Christmas stories. I don't care if it's alphabetical order or not. I've always said that. I enjoyed a lot of these. One of them was a new Neil Adams written story with art by him and a story by Paul Dini. But Scott Snyder did a story. I'm just like, all around, this was one of my favorite issues of the year as we close in, because I thought it was so fun. And like little anthologies.
Again, I like annuals that are done in this way where it's just not filler, I guess. It's you know, it's stuff that either could be paid off at a later date or will be paid off with that introduction of the new villain.
Right, which I totally think is going to happen.
Right, absolutely. So that covers what we read from this past week. Let's get into what we're most looking forward to coming out this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com, every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern time or so, we put up the pull post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week, whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you get them in trade, however it is that you get your books, be forewarned, be forearmed, know what's coming out, be prepared, and, don't be shortchanged, especially this holiday season.
Right.
So Todd and I attempt to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week. Todd is still in the lead with one more correct guess than me. Again, at this point, it really doesn't matter. He has 30, I have 29. There's only 4 weeks left in the year that we can tie this up, catch this up,
mm-hmm.
or win. Looking at your list of things, of books coming out this week, I am going to guess the book that you were most looking forward to coming out this week is the new Star Wars number one, Dr. Aphra.
Yes, it is.
Booyah.
And I'm looking at your list, and it is also Star Wars Dr. Aphra number one?
It is also Star Wars Dr. Aphra number one.
And I'm not looking forward to it so much for Dr. Aphra as I'm looking forward to the two robots that go with her.
000 and BT.
That's right.
Oh, boy. And again, we postulated when that book was going on that how awesome it would be if they just did a story of them. And, mm-hmm. You know, listen, it's their book. She's just along for the ride as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. She's a known name. So they're giving it to her. But it's the real talent is the robots. They're the robots behind the throne.
Right. They're the work rate guys. She's the pretty face that they put on the covers to try to trick people to buy the issues.
Mm-hmm.
No, I do enjoy Dr. Aphra, but she was certainly overshadowed by those two clowns in the issues.
What? You're saying an evil R2-D2 and C-3PO are going to get most of the spotlight?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fantastic.
So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out all the other things that are over there, whether it be past episodes of this show, past episodes of After Dark, past weekly questions, past pull posts, just in case you had missed a week of comics. You could look to see what was out, came out, or otherwise. You could also click the little store thing underneath our big giant logo at the top of the page, buy shirts or stickers with that very image on said shirts or stickers just in time for the holidays. And if you already have the sticker, already have the shirt, and you don't know anyone who would want them, and I don't know why you would know people who don't want that fancy shirt, because it's very nice, mm-hmm. Amazon has everything but our shirts. That's the only thing I think they don't sell.
Right.
And you could click that Amazon banner across the top of the page. We get a little bit of kickback of whatever it is that you purchase. And it is the holiday time. Be sure to purchase all of your stuff through our Amazon click-through, just like the people who this week purchased. The last two trades of the new 52 Swamp Thing run. Someone also purchased a Mahalo Rainbow Series Soprano Ukulele Starter Kit.
Oh, why is it always about ukulele? Why can't it be about meekulele?
Wow, terrible. Terrible. Someone also purchased a King's Brand Crackle Brown with Copper Nails Storage Ottoman Bench.
Oh.
And that is a big ticket item, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you. Whether you purchase a big giant item like a bench, or you purchase comic books or ukuleles, any purchase makes both Todd and I smile.
That's right. We're going to start an empire because you bought that ottoman.
That one I'll give you.
That one would be our Ottoman Empire.
Oh, boy. Did you see Josh's tweet to you before we started recording?
Yes, I did.
All right.
It is a sickness.
It is. Yes. Todd has a sickness, ladies and gentlemen, and we make light of it here on this show.
That's right.
And hey, if you're one of the people that purchased something, like longtime listener of the show, Jay Bandoy, who let us know that he purchased that Nest smoke detector last week. Shoot us a tweet, shoot us an email, shoot us a comment on the episode show notes. And yeah, we'll give you a shout out if you let us know that that's the thing that you purchased.
That's right. Buy something big and hear your name.
Right.
That's the present we send back.
Well, you get the item that you purchased itself as well, you know?
Yeah, but it's not like we gave them that.
We were the arbiter to get them to that thing. If it wasn't for us, Todd, you know how many people wouldn't know Amazon was a thing?
Oh, that is true. They would think it's a river in Africa.
Right.
We're like, no, it, you give them money through our link and they send you things.
Right. Oh. If only that was the way that it works.
It's not how it works?
It is. But it's
oh,
not.
Good. I was worried that I had Amazon wrong.
So, one more thing before we dive into hot TV talk. Our question of the week, and it's the end of the year, so things are going to kind of play fast and loose here. Best holiday story. We had some good suggestions in the comments. Mark Cole mentioned Justice League 188, which was the backup story, which was a Hanukkah story. Stiff Peg Pete, another longtime listener of the show, mentioned he always gets the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror TV, comic books.
It is Halloween is a holiday.
Halloween is certainly a holiday, as is Hanukkah. Mark also mentioned from the Superman novel by Elliot S. Magan, Miracle Monday, which I know is a big thing amongst people who are super duper into Superman, pun intended. Mm. I have never read that. I hear it's really good.
I've never read it either.
Mm-hmm. I don't like reading novels about comic book characters. I don't want to read comics about people in novels.
Oh, where's my Moby Dick comic?
Where's my illustrated classics?
Oh, those were the days.
Uh-huh.
That's how I did all my school projects back in the day.
There, or Classics Illustrated, or whatever they were called. The great Gilbert Gottfried tells a story on his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He is a big old Universal Monster movie fan, and he had ordered the Dracula one. The Dracula Classics Illustrated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they just sent him, like, the wrong book. And he's like, nah, I didn't care. He goes, I like Dracula a lot, but not enough to fight with him.
I would have fought with him.
I know you would have. You fight with everybody.
That's right. Well, at least you take things in grace and wouldn't have had a letter-writing campaign slash, you know, craziness fit.
Nope. I keep my craziness pretty much well contained. You know, every once in a while, like the infamous Best Buy thing from a couple years ago.
Oof.
But I'm much better now, like Harry's father would say on Night Court.
Yes, I'm much better now. That was John Astin, famous Gomez Adams.
Also the Riddler.
Oh, I remember when he... Yeah, he was the good Riddler on Batman 66. You remember the good Riddler, John Astin? When Frank Gorshin was asking for too much money, so he went off and did that half-white, half-black episode of Star Trek.
Didn't he do that before?
I don't know. In my head, that's what he left to do, and then they were like, wow, he's so good on Star Trek. We have to give him that money, and they brought him back.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah?
What's your best holiday story? We might have fallen off the rails, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. It is a little story that was only 2 pages that you could probably buy if you wanted.
Oh, my goodness. You could buy just those 2 pages?
Yeah, because I don't have them. If I had them, I know they wouldn't be for sale. It was by a famous artist who's, you know, a very generous guy who wrote and drew them, Ty Templeton, about Santa Claus going to visit Darkseid to give him some coal. It was called Past Tense, and it was really good.
Right, and you could even just, and again, you could even Google image search or Bing image search, as I use, the 2 pages and read the entire story there.
Right, or buy them.
Right, or buy just those 2 pages. See if you can go to a store. What issue is that in?
That is the DC Universe Holiday Special, either 1 or 2. I'm not quite sure because they blur together all these holiday specials.
So go to your local comic book store to see if they have that issue, and then just see if you can buy just those 2 pages. Like, rip them out and go from there.
That's right.
So
what's your favorite holiday special, Joe?
So for me, it's an interesting one. I couldn't quite pick. So, I was thinking about a Justice League JSA team-up one, where they get together for the holidays, and a bunch of villains show up because they think it's like, oh, it's the holidays, we could do XYZ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's, you know, your F and G list villains show up, and then, like, the entire full force of both the Justice League and JSA are there. And, of course, a whipping ensues.
And then usually they share their turkey with the villains before they take them to jail.
Right. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, wasn't there another issue that had a similar theme like that, that was also a holiday issue, or took place around the holidays? And there was. And it actually kind of, sort of, in a way, in name alone, I think, ties into our TV stuff. It's Justice League International number 22. Where Oberon, where everyone else is dealing with invasion, Oberon is back at Justice League Embassy, and the Kund mini-fighters show up.
Right.
And Oberon takes them all out, using a bunch of, like, nonsense, like bowling balls and Blue Beetle's junk and stuff
He uses Blue Beetle's strobe light gun, and their little optic nerves can't handle the sensation, and then he puts them in Roach Motels.
Right, so for me, that was my, for me, it was less about a holiday story, and it was more about what is my favorite story where the villains think because it's the holidays, the heroes will be slim pickings.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they lose. And obviously, if it's just Oberon, these guys should have won. It was the holidays, and they lost.
Was it the holidays, really?
It was. When I was doing searching online for the issue, some databases call the issue cover date January.
Right.
Others call it holiday.
Oh,
because there were two
issues
that were released that January of Justice League International.
But was there a holiday going on in the story?
It says holiday on the cover.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Technicality.
Oh my God. I call shenanigans.
All right.
I call complete. You know what? I'm going to have to go find my copy of Justice League International 22, which I probably have right behind me on the shelf in hardcover and trade. So, ugh. All right.
Right.
What's next week's? I can't even go on with this.
All right. Next week is we're going to do a little we're going to solicit to you, the listeners, of course, and we'll talk about it a little bit here ourselves. What is the best single issue story?
That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask some questions.
Go ahead.
Now, is it, can it be, does it have to be one and done? Or, like, what if my favorite single issue is part five of a four-part, or of a six-part story?
It has to be a one-and-done story.
Okay, okay.
Yes.
Just checking.
Right.
Now, could it have, like, an epilogue and a prologue where it's like, oh, this is going to happen next issue? I'm really messing with you now.
It depends.
What if my favorite issue is a holiday issue that just says it on the cover, right, but has no holiday in between the covers?
That's acceptable.
Okay. Wow.
So, yes, let us know what your favorite one-and-done single-issue story is, and we're definitely going to be compiling that list and talking about them here next week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I guess, is there anything else that we have to discuss on the main show here?
No, I just think we have to talk about, like, nearly 5.5 hours of TV.
Oh, my goodness. Without commercials.
Oh, we don't have commercials. We should, but we don't.
I have commercials.
I have commercials in my head. For this show?
Right.
Oh, boy.
So, we'll take like 2 seconds here, and then we'll dive into all this crazy TV talk. So, let's talk about Walking Dead first.
Okay.
Only because I think the other stuff is going to take up a lot more time.
Right.
And I think after we're done talking about those four episodes, I'm not going to want to talk about anything else.
Okay.
So let's get Walking Dead out of the way. This has parallels. The main story here is the Negan and Carl stuff. Everybody else is out doing their own little adventures, and it looks like everybody else is independently trying to take down Negan. Michonne is out doing her thing to try to take down Negan. Jesus is out doing his thing to try to take down Negan. Rick has his plan to go whatever it is, and I'm sure it's under the guise of collecting stuff, but it's absolutely to try to take down Negan. Obviously, everyone wants to take down Negan. Let's all get on the same page. I think it will be easier to take him down if we're all working together.
But then everybody else is like, if I do it, it'll be secret and nobody will find out. And we don't want to tip our hand where everybody's going to go do it and Negan's going to be like, hey, everybody, stop trying to go against me, and you know, or I'll have to kill y'all.
There was at least 2 instances in this issue where Carl had Negan dead to rights.
Mm-hmm.
And could have taken him out and didn't.
What were the two?
Okay. When he jumps out with the gun and he shoots those two dudes, he absolutely could have taken out Negan from where he was. Absolutely, 100%.
See, I think they made a huge mistake there because he ended up shooting those two guys.
Right.
I think what they were trying to imply was when he was throwing darts is that his aim is off.
Hmm.
And they even show the dartboard in this episode where the dartboard is there and all the holes are in the wall next to it.
Right.
So I think he has trouble shooting the gun because he only has one eye.
That said, you do a wild spray of those bullets, you see the vague shape of Negan in a certain direction, mm-hmm. just spray that giant gun that way.
But that's why I like in the, and I know I hate when people do this, when they say it's in the book is better and the comic is better. In the thing, they had Carl jump out of the thing with the M16 and he fired the gun and he wasn't ready for it and it just knocked him on his butt. And he was like, and he even says it in the show, but he's like, you just picked that gun because it was cool. But in the comic, he says the same thing and then goes, but you didn't realize what a kick it had and you weren't ready for it. And I think that would have been maybe better, but you know, you didn't want to make Carl look all you know, weak and stuff. You want to make him look strong.
Right. You've already spent, like, the first episode of the show making everybody look weak, except for Carl. So, but they did a lot to make Carl look weak in this. But the other thing was, so, we're going to be all over the place, of course, with this. So, Negan is like, all right, after all the stuff that happens at his base, he's like, all right, let's take us back to where you guys are. I want to talk to your dad. Rick's not there, so he's like, I'm just going to hang out. He's like, give me the grand tour. And I like the scenes of him giving Negan the tour of the house.
Mm-hmm. Where he's, like, astounded by the water and stuff.
And the carpet.
Oh, him doing the diehard toe carpet grab?
Yes.
Was fantastic.
So they go up into the room, and of course Carl doesn't want him going to the room where Judith is. And he goes in, and he sees Judith, and his eyes light up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still with evil in his eyes, but they light up. And he hands Lucille to Carl. The show should have been over right then and there. He should have just brained Negan when he was going for Judith.
I think that's part of Negan's master plan. Is he know? See, like, everybody's thinking, like, Negan showed up alone with a bat.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I just hand him the bat. Now, I'm weaponless, and none of my other men are here. Anything happens to Negan, they all die. So I think even Carl knew that, and Carl was doing a suicide run at the Savior's, like, you know, home base. But here he's like, if I do, they kill Judith. Anything can happen. I think for a second he was smarter than he's been.
And again, this is me. This is my impulsive nature being in the show. I would have taken him out right then and there.
Well, that's why you're who I want in the zombie apocalypse, leading my people. Apparently. Making great decisions.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. So, I really liked the episode.
I did, too. My favorite parts, I'm going to say, are probably with evilness, is when he's talking to the woman who keeps the foodstuffs. And, you know, he's talking about, like, that they're starving, and he's just so, like, all the Negan stuff in the comics doesn't really come through because, like, he can't say the really sexual stuff and, you know, like, curse like a sailor like he does. But when he just berates her for being overweight, I was like, this is Negan at, like, his nastiest. And he ends up making the pass at her, and she wants none of it, and he's all like, yeah. I'm like, you know what? This is the way I see it. But where you have that he needs the jacket zipped up all the time,
yes.
I need him to shave that stubble off. I want that stubble gone. That's my open jacket for Negan, if you know what I mean.
And then he had the jacket off when he was on the porch drinking his lemonade.
Oh, well, that's different. He's relaxing. That's country time lemonade, Negan.
I wish I could remember how the commercials for Country Time Lemonade went. So, and I'm sure someone, and if they have, please send it to me. Somebody had to have taken, like, the old Country Time Lemonade commercial and, like, maybe put those clips of Negan, like, doing his Negan-y things.
Right.
But I really like the interplay between Negan and Carl on the show.
Right, which is just stolen right from the comic. Like, that's
right.
Probably the most comic-y thing I've seen them do on the show. When he makes him sing to Lucille, it was fantastic.
And he makes him take the bandage off his eye. And we get to see the gimmick with the iron in this episode. How'd you feel about that, Mr. I don't like scary things or whatever?
Well, that's just like pulling chicken off the foreman, so I was okay. When you put too much, like, sauce on it and it sticks, I'm good, man. I'm good. You all right?
No, it was a touch rough for me.
Right.
But I like I said, I really like this episode, especially after last week's episode. And next week, I guess, is when they go on hiatus, right? They have one more episode. Kirkman was on, I think, Conan this week, maybe?
Yeah, I actually watched that. That was interesting. That was my favorite comic creator on a late-night talk show since Dennis Miller had Rob Liefeld on.
Oh, my goodness. I need to find that when we're done.
I'm telling you, that happened. That was during the late night wars when Dennis Miller couldn't get anybody.
Oh, this was when... Oh, okay. I was hoping it was like his HBO show or something.
No, remember when Dennis Miller had...
Oh, yes, I do.
That's right. Well, he had... And I'll never forget because it was one of those quotes where he's like, I always thought it was interesting where you guys wrote these comics and like motivated these characters. Like, oh, I'm Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I'm going to wake up and fight Hydra today. And I was like, oh, my God, like this show is never going to last. This is never going to last.
All right.
Let's see if we can find that Dennis Miller Rob Liefeld clip. There's got to be.
It'll be in the show notes, Todd. Don't worry about it.
Did you really find it?
I put Dennis Miller Rob Liefeld into Bing, and it was the first thing that came up.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I actually remembered that.
I have no recollection of this.
Are you going to watch it after we're done recording?
Absolutely.
And I hope he does that Nick Fury Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, because I really remember that.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, that'll go in the show notes. But again, Walking Dead, really good.
Mm.
So, let's get into the Invasion crossover, Todd.
Sorry, let's start with the meaty episode, Supergirl.
Okay. I enjoyed watching Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a fun, nice show. Obviously, this is the second episode of Supergirl I've ever watched.
Third.
That's right, third, because she did the previous Flashy crossover.
That's right. We had that big company crossover on the network here with Supergirl, the first episode, and then we watched the Supergirl Flash crossover.
Right, right. I was intrigued to see, like how Superman-y this show is. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean it's like you've got Luthers, you've got... You know, parental struggles. You've got Cyborg Superman, Martian Manhunter's on this show, Mon-El is on this show. It's like so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. But no Superman-well.
Right, no Super Batman-well.
That's right. But to tell you the truth, basically what this comes down to me is I watched this episode and one thing jumped out at me and then I just wanted the breach to open and flash again. I'm not going to rip the show apart because I had fun watching it, but I had no invested interest in like the Maggie Sawyer relationship or Mon-El flirting with Supergirl or Supergirl because I'd watched nothing. Basically, the only thing that stuck out at me is why do they call him Cyborg Superman if he looks like Martian Manhunter? Shouldn't he be Cyborg Martian Manhunter?
Okay, he's definitely Hank Henshaw because they called him that.
Right.
Maybe he... You know how, like, when a lot of times in comics, like, Martian Manhunter, John Jones will take the form of... a person who might have passed away or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like someone that he attempted to save and failed. So that, and then he continues the person's life by becoming them.
Right.
Maybe, and again, not having watched any other episodes of Supergirl other than the two previous that we talked about, maybe Hank Henshaw was someone that Martian Manhunter attempted to save. Martian Manhunter takes the form of Hank Henshaw thinking that he's dead. They find out that he's John Jones, Martian Manhunter, but he still just uses this guise of Hank Henshaw, but then Hank Henshaw comes back as evil.
Sure, I guess. That's the only thing that really stuck out to this episode. And then you get to the end, and I mean, it was fun, like I said, but in crossover terms, it is the comic book cop-out where they'll be like, all right, this is going to be a crossover issue, and then the last, you know, page... ties it in just as the last 30 seconds of this episode tied it in, which was in the beginning of the Flash episode or was somewhere in the Flash episode. So it was like almost we didn't need this episode.
Right. And that was the thing that I felt most bad about for Supergirl, because I think Supergirl being the newest member of the CW network with all these guys, they should have had a little bit. The episode, the time slot and the show itself should have gotten a little bit more of the rub from the crossover. Mm-hmm. Whereas Supergirl herself is fine. She's in the next three episodes. She's all over them. She's got nothing to worry about, but the show itself could have maybe used a little bit more of the actual crossover itself.
Right, and then along the lines of the episode, which never came into play again, was the whole thing where they had the mist that would kill aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, well, this is going to be like something maybe that they come back for to threaten the Dominators. So I'm like, well, all right, at least, you know, if this doesn't cross over, this story will be important. Do you know what I mean? And it's never touched on again in the crossover. So in the end, I was like, oh, okay. I had a fun time, but not really an Invasion crossover episode.
Right. So now we get into Flash, we get into Arrow, we get into Legend of Tomorrow, which is the actual crossover itself. The Flash episode, of course, you're getting all your Flash bits and, you know, beats of what's going on in the current storylines. But Ollie is coaching the team through Barry, since everyone says Barry should be in charge. And his plan is that we should all fight Supergirl so we know how to fight aliens. Because one alien is the same as all other aliens.
But, I get what you're saying, but also it wasn't everybody was saying Barry should be in charge. Everybody was saying Ollie should be in charge, and Ollie was saying, nope, this is Barry's thing.
My mistake.
So, yeah, no, that's important, because that comes... people start falling out because of what Barry did with Flashpoint. Like when Diggle finds out that he had a son until Flashpoint, he had a daughter, and then Flashpoint, now he has a son.
Right.
And other things have changed, which I found interesting.
So, you know, and of course, Flash stuff that we get in this episode is, of course, Wally doesn't listen. He tries to go in and save the day, and he fails miserably. But then New Wells, Earth 3 Wells, says, I'll train you in secret, and I'm sure that will turn out just fine for all parties involved. There won't be any issues there.
Especially with all that coffee that Wells drinks, should be okay.
And then at the... So they send in a group to take down, or to go find the president, because the president gets kidnapped, right?
Right, but then shortly before that, they find out about Flashpoint, and they go, "Well, we're not gonna go if Wall or Barry leads, so we're gonna go alone." And Ollie's like, "Well, I'm not gonna go if Barry doesn't go." So they send a team off that can fall mm-hmm. to the Dominator's mind control, and then Ollie and Barry have to save them.
Right, so then Ollie and Barry save them, and then the cast of Arrow, or the people who were mostly known for Arrow, get sucked up onto the Dominator's ship.
Not all of them. Did you notice everybody who got taken?
It was no
powers.
Right. That's well. Again, the cast of Arrow
and Ray.
Well, Ray started out on Arrow, did he not?
Oh, that's a good point.
Uh huh. Uh-huh.
That is a good point.
Come on.
That is that. But he's a. So would you say Heatwave's a Flash character or a Legends of Tomorrow character?
A Flash character.
I don't know. He's super Legends of Tomorrow now.
The only Legends characters are Steel Boy. Commander
Steel Boy?
Steel Boy.
Right.
And Rip Hunter if he ever decides to come back. Everybody else is just picked and chosen from other shows.
Ah, okay. Fair enough. So yeah, they all get sucked up into the Matrix for the Arrow episode.
Right, so then we get into the Arrow episode. And now, I'm not familiar with the Invasion crossover in full.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the Dominator's deal where they put people into essentially the Black Lotus thing that Darkseid or Mongol put Superman into?
The Black Mercy. Black Lotus was a Magic the Gathering thing.
There you go. See, you knew what's up.
I'm mopping what you're spilling. But no, that really wasn't the Dominators thing that I remember. I only remember the Dominators from that Invasion crossover and a little bit else. Mostly Dominators were Legion of Superheroes villains, and I didn't read the Legion of Superheroes. So I don't know if that was their thing.
Mm-hmm. But they all get put back into their lives where Ollie's parents never died, everyone's happy, and then, of course, they start having flashes back to their actual life, not having watched Arrow in quite some time. The rest of Team Arrow, being Mr. Terrific, Ragman, and Wild Dog, was quite the shock for me as well.
What? Those A-listers shocked you?
The designs on them in their superhero guises were really cool, especially Mr. Terrific. But again, I'm just like, oh boy, we're really, you know, we're only three seasons away, I think, from Space Cabbie showing up.
I'm hoping soon. But the thing that you don't know about Mr. Terrific is that that guy took the gimmick from a wrestler in the Arrow universe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's like, don't you know about Mr. Terrific? He's all about fair play, and you don't see him, but he tells the story of Mr. Terrific was a wrestler, and he gets the gimmick and the jacket and all that stuff from it. And I'm like, oh, God, the only way you could make this worse is to add a wrestler to the cake mix.
But
at least Wild Dog's there. That's all that matters.
But isn't there a Mr. Terrific from JSA? So it's like a different Mr. Terrific that he modeled himself after?
No, because there's no JSA that anybody knows about. Because remember, they were secret. We found out from the Legends Tomorrow they were classified. So how would he know about the Mr. Terrific? But either way, I like the Force people at the end. That was my favorite. Urging Ollie on when he saw, like, Anakin and Yoda. Oh, no, wait, all the people from Arrow at the end before he stepped through the gate.
Right, when he saw all the Force ghosts.
That's right.
That was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I like the ones that aren't on the show anymore and were, like, they had the ones that you're like, all right, we have the actors for so we could do this easier. And the other ones, they were just, like, stealing from, like, a scene, like, you know, like, like... Red Arrow's leaning up against the coffee machine, but they have to, like, make him somehow look like a Force ghost standing straight and tall and stuff like that. I found that funny.
But again, I thought, you know, having, you know, being so far out of the Arrowverse, I thought this was a good episode as well. The fight choreography was really good. I thought it was a good episode.
Right, I was curious, because you're so far out of Arrow, what you would think. Like, at least I can understand the story plot-wise, you know what I mean? Like, when they're hitting on beats from the past couple seasons and stuff.
Right.
So, I'm glad you enjoyed it, then.
Yes, I did. And then, last but not least, is Legends of Tomorrow, where everyone's finally back together, and now we're getting our more plot stuff from Legends of Tomorrow. Dr. Stein finds out that he has a daughter, because of his meddling in his own timeline, telling his younger self to pay more attention to his wife. And they decide to go back to 1951 to try to find a Dominator from the first time the Dominators came to our world and kidnap him and interrogate him, I guess. And then Sisko and Felicity Smoak make the decision to save him and let him go, which also alters the timeline when they come back to 2016. And some would say it's like poetry, so it rhymes.
That's right, because Sisko realizes that now he has become the thing he hates.
Right. Barry.
Right. But now they're friends again.
Right.
So it all worked out in the end. And I like that the Dominators got to fight. You know what we haven't even touched on?
A lot, because a lot happened in this.
Right, but I have to go back. How about that hangar that they were training in?
Okay. Now, are we talking about the exterior shots or the interior shots?
The exterior. Come on. We what it looked like from
okay.
the front.
I was marking out so hard that the Star Labs warehouse that they were in looked just like the Hall of Justice from the old Super Friends cartoon.
Oh, I lost my mind when that popped up. Lost my mind, Joe. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. So we have as close as we're going to get to a Justice League crossover in the Hall of Justice. I'm like, oh, give me more, CW. Give me it all.
And now there was a couple shots. So it's revealed, and I think you might have mentioned this, it's revealed that the reason the Dominators have broken their peace treaty with us, the Earthlings, is because Barry created Flashpoint.
Damn it, Barry!
And they say, if you just give us Barry, we'll leave. Mm-hmm. And of course, Barry's like, yeah, I'll do this. So the scene where he's telling the rest of the group that he's going to do this, every angle, every time they cut, it was like there was a perfectly framed American flag behind whoever was talking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very distracting.
Couldn't have been too distracting because I didn't notice it.
Oh, it was distracting to me, a mental patient.
Oh, boy.
So, of course, Barry says he's going to do this. They all say, no, Barry, you can't do this. And they end up defeating the Dominators with a little thing that Stein and his daughter make. And they win, they save the day, and then they make a little thing for Supergirl so she can go back to her Earth, but can come back anytime that they need to or during sweeps, whatever happens first.
That's right. And possibly the greatest joke that's been in any of the CW superhero shows since they began.
Oh, I know what it is, but go ahead.
Is Ray Palmer saying that Kara looks remarkably like his cousin. And it didn't land for me at first. And then the director was like, let it hang. Let it hang.
Oh, yeah, it was given, like, a beat of, like a three Mississippi to hang there.
Right, and I was like, oh, that's good.
Yes, absolutely. It was very good.
Mm-hmm. The only thing, the only problem that I really had was because, you know, it's cheaper CGI, and they still did good on the Dominators.
Oh, there's one other thing that I got to talk about, but go ahead.
Is that I wish that they would slow down a little bit and focus on things. Because apparently the Dominators had a big middle finger that was like a claw.
Right.
And I was like, I'd like to see how that works. I'm not sure if that's a weapon or what, or what's going on. But I would have liked to, you know, seen how that worked. But they were too busy like, oh, well, we can't focus on things and then you'll see the flaws.
Now, I will also say this. Oh, man, where was I? The Commander Steel outfit looks terrible.
I disagree, son. I love Commander Steel with his little steel mohawk, and you can only see his neck and jaws, and then he has eye black, as we were hoping he would have.
Yes, he did have eye black.
Yes. So I was like, I love Steel. I think he looks so manly. Well, he looks like what a modern day gladiator would look like. And don't you like gladiators, Joe?
Okay. I know why they made the costume the way that it is.
Because they were being an homage to his grandfather.
No.
No?
Because, like, he wore, like, a one-piece deal in the comic books, right?
Yeah, that looks exactly like the costume.
No, but there's like a whole bunch of exposed bits, like for his arm and his face and his neck, so that you can see the differential when he changes to steel.
That's right, because if not, the eye black would hide it.
What? I don't know. And why would it be eye black? Why not eye silver? Does the black go away when he turns into steel?
We have to slow it down in HD and find out.
Oh, boy. But I was not, I liked when they showed the costume a week ago, like, just hanging up. I'm like, oh, man, that looks cool. And then the functionality and practicality of it, not cool.
He looks great with his chest puffed out and the star. He's all like, hey, I'm Steel. We're going to fight. I'm going to turn into Steel and we're going to fight.
Oh, fantastic. Boy. I'm sure it'll grow on me, but my initial reaction, not very good.
You know what? It'll grow on you. Don't you worry.
No, I hope not. So I guess overall, I liked the crossover. I just wish they did more on the actual Supergirl episode than just the very end, which they recapped at the beginning of Flash anyway.
I agree. But we got Holla Justice and a Brandon Routh played Superman at one time joke. And that's all you really need. That's all you really need in 4 hours of TV.
Yeah, the Holla Justice was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. I want a playset.
That, well, being that they don't do, like, actual figures, like mass market figures for these, they do direct market figures.
Mm-hmm.
The Hall of Justice playset, direct market, would probably be, like, $500.
Yes, but we'd get it through the Amazon click-through and save money.
Oh, there you go.
Right. It'd probably be, like, $40 after the click-through.
Oh, man. So is there anything else that we missed or need to cover at the overall of the episode here today?
No, I think we hit everything that we needed to. We might have missed something, but that was 4 hours of TV.
Right.
You know?
Condensed which was nothing like a for half a guy. Hour.
Right, which was like nothing for a guy like me. I just slotted out 4 hours in my life and sat down and watched some TV over the course. And while football was going on and everything else, I still found time.
And I watch zero football, but I just have, you know, I don't have the time, man. But I found the time, and it was rough, but it was worth it, because I enjoyed the crossovers altogether. I can't pick up Supergirl or Arrow to add to the pile. But everything is, I think, going on hiatus next week as well. Like, this was the last episode of Flash this week, and...
Right, that, like think... the next episodes that we review will be the, obviously you won't watch Arrow, but Flash and Legends of Tomorrow, and then it's hiatus until like January or beginning of February.
Flash comes back third week of January.
Mm-hmm.
Legends of Tomorrow comes back, I think, right around that same week. And then Walking Dead doesn't come back until the second week of February.
So there you go. We have some time to kill.
Yep.
Stuff like that. Maybe we'll change up the show somehow during the first of the year. Who knows?
Who knows what is in the plans for this show? Mwahaha.
Mm. All right.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to episode 323 of Long Box Heroes. For Todd, this is Joe, and we will catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop.
Mama, Baba, Uma, Uma, Ma, Baba, Uma, Mama.
All right, so it's week 14. Ace is usually good for about 8 to 9 picks. I should see what place we're in overall. Yeah, overall. All right, we're in 24th place out of 38 people. That's not terrible, but you know, there's a lot of people that are kicking some butts. Dave is kicking some butts. Becky is kicking some butts.
And we are not kicking
some. We're like side kicking some butts. Let's see if we can get some better. So who do you think is going to win? The Raiders or the Chiefs? The Steelers or a Steeler or a Buffalo? A Bear or a Lion? A Tiger or a Bulldog? A Bronco? Do you remember what a Bronco is?
A bull.
Like a horse. Or a Titan.
Titan.
A Texan or a Colt? Okay. A Cardinal or a Dolphin?
Dolphin.
A Viking or a Jaguar?
Yeah.
A Redskin or an Eagle? Charger or a Panther? Charger or
a Panther?
He was distracted by some slime.
That's
putting. A Jet or a 49er?
Green. Blue.
A Jet or a 49er? A Falcon or a Ram?
Falcon.
A Seahawk or a Packer?
Ooh.
A Saint or a Buccaneer?
Ooh.
a cowboy or a giant?
One.
And last, a raven or a patriot?
Patriot.
All right, those are our picks.
Look how much the Patriots got.
Right. They're favored to win by that much. Whether they're going to win by that much is another story. All right, that's our picks. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. I hate slime.